We'll have our scripture reading for this morning, and thank you, Donald.
From the book of Esther, chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. On the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the edict commanded by the king was to be carried out. On this day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, but now the tables were turned, and the Jews got the upper hand over those who hated them. The Jews assembled in their cities in all the provinces of King Xerxes to attack those determined to destroy them. No one could stand against them because the people of all the other nationalities were afraid of them. And all the nobles of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and the king's administrators helped the Jews because fear of Mordecai had seized them. Mordecai was prominent in the palace. His reputation had spread throughout the provinces, and he became more and more powerful. The Jews struck down all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them, and they did what they pleased to those who hated them. In the citadel of Susa, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. They also killed Parshandatha, Dalphon, Espatha, Poratha, Adalia, Aradatha, Parmashta, Erisai, Eridai, and Vizatha, the 10 sons of Haman, son of Hamadatha, the king of the enemy of the Jews, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder.
Amen. Good. Thanks, Donald. Now, where they came up with those boys' names, I don't know. Sure was named modern day. Name books that we have nowadays.
John and Joe would have been nice.
Yeah, John and Joe would have been excellent. Even if they went John 1 through 5 and Joe 1 through 5, you know. And next week, heads up, it's only chapter 10, 3 verses. You know, short. So you're going to finish strong next week as well. Very appreciate it. You know, how many times in your life, how many days, moments, weeks, maybe months, or chapters maybe of your life, have you always felt that someone else always has the upper hand? That you are always the lesser. You're always second fiddle. You're always somewhere down the line. You're always the underdog. I'm sure we've all had moments, and I hope and I pray that through your spiritual walk with the Lord that you're no longer in allowing those type of feelings and thoughts or situations consume you, that you're not allowing that to identify who you are or make you into being that person, because that's not God's plan. Because God always has the upper hand, and God always has a plan for you. Maybe you're ready for God to turn the tables to put you in a better position. You know, the story in life of Esther began that way, but that's not how it ended, is it? The beginning is not the end. You are on a spiritual journey today. Today, whatever happens today, whatever you experience today is not the end. Today leads to tomorrow. Today's spiritual growth leads to more growth, leads to growth tomorrow and the next day and to by next Sunday and week after week. Today is not the end. With the Lord, you're not the underdog. With the Lord, you're not number two. With the Lord, we are all number ones. We are all children of God. You know, God always had the upper hand in Esther's life, but she had to live it out for it to be revealed. She had to be obedient and trust and make decisions that led for everyone else seeing God having the upper hand. Just imagine, clear back in the beginning, when Mordecai was bringing Esther, his cousin, he hears about the king wants 100 young ladies to come and be groomed and taken care of for a year, then come and stand before him. What if Esther, like many young people that are of our community and some that we know, what if she said, no, I'm not going? What if once she got in there and the king chose her and said, I don't want to be the next queen. I don't want anything to do with that king. What if she would have walked out? What if when Mordecai talked to Esther about this plan for the Jews to be killed and Esther was said, big deal. What if, like we talked last week about Esther living in the palace behind the tall, thick, strong walls of the palace, what if she would just allow that to be her safety? But she didn't in any of those situations, did she? God continued to work. She continued to say, okay, yes, Lord. She continued to be obedient by the guidance and direction of Mordecai, the Lord's leading in her life, and God's upper hand continued to be revealed again and again and again. And you know, it is for God's plan. He had this plan to deliver his people. God is the deliverer. He is our deliverer. He is one that has a plan for us. And it's a plan that is for our good. God's plan is holy. It is divine. It is eternal. And it is for our good. It is for your good. Going back to chapter 4, I want to remind you that Mordecai firmly believed and Mordecai lived out his life with total trust in God's plan for that moment, for that situation, for Esther. You know, church, I truly believe that we need more Mordecais. We need Mordecais in the leadership. Today, you and I need more Mordecais in our lives. We need Mordecais in the lives of our children. Today, you and I need to be more like Mordecai. Amen? It is important, trusting, believing, and living in the will of God. Trusting, believing, and living for our Lord, for our Savior, because He is the one that has the upper hand. Esther 4:14, I want to remind you, you remember what Mordecai's hit home statement to Esther was? That verse should be a verse that we cling to as Christians as well, and leaders of the church here and now in 2022. It says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." God has a plan to use you right where you are. Another passage in Scripture talks about if you don't praise God, you don't give thanks to God, He'll be disappointed, but He's going to tell the rocks out in the driveway to sing praises. If we as a church do not give praise and thanks to God, God will raise up the rocks to sing praises to Him. So you are in a position today to do something for the Lord. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the Lord has something to say to you. The Lord's going to lead and direct you in some way. Today, I tell you, you are in a position to do something for the Lord. If you are like Esther, if you are willing, if you are obedient. Chapter 9 begins, and it may be looking like a big old day of vengeance. You know, there's a lot of things going to happen here. The unexpected. God turns the tables, but He's still doing that today. Do you know what God says about vengeance? He's not telling us to take it into our hands. But He does tell us in Romans 12:17, 18, 19, repay no one evil for evil. no evil for evil. Have regard for things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. He's got it. He's going to take care of your enemies. He's going to take care of your messy situations. He's going to turn that table for you. He's going to give you the strength, the power to withstand whatever enemies you're facing, whatever life moments. He's got your back because he's got the upper hand. Chapter 9 begins with this thought that there is this universal hate for all the Jews. And that 13th day of Adar was to be the last day for the Jews. The last day on earth for the Jews was to be that 13th day. We know that it was not doomsday, was it? Even though it was Haman's plan, it was not God's plan. Haman's plan for that 13th day to be the last day that the Jews see daylight on this earth. But not God's plan. Because God has the upper hand. And I want you to repeat after me these few words. So repeat after me. God always has the upper hand. Praise the Lord, right? Aren't you thankful that God has the upper hand and it's not up to us and our frailties and our weakness and our limited knowledge? We turn to the Lord. We turn to the one that has the upper hand. And that is our focus today. And there is a whole nother message and a whole nother study. You know, we could look into the theology of that last part of chapter 9 that we didn't read, the Purim. But I will say this. Haman had cast lots to pick the day of doom and destruction and annihilation of the Jews. Haman had gambled with human life by rolling the dice, by picking the day. And I remind you, and I hope you understand, that God does not gamble. Wherever the dice fall, however the cards are dealt, whatever name may be drawn from the bucket, it is God who makes the decision. It is God who has the upper hand that all things play out the way they do. It is God who has control of what goes up and the things that crumble to the ground. So Haman's 13th day plan becomes unlucky 13 for the enemies of the Jews. Unlucky 13 for those enemies. Because God turns the table on Haman and the enemies of the Jews. And I ask you today, what are those areas in your life? What are those areas in your life that you need God to turn the table on? Because you've tried and you weren't able to get it done. Because it's whatever it is, it's more than what you can do in your own ability, but not for God. It is God's place. It is God's work to be done. It is God who turns the table. What areas in your life are you feeling sorry for yourself? What areas are you feeling sorry for yourself because someone has better health, someone has more energy, somebody has more know-how or more ideas, somebody has a bigger business, someone has more degrees, someone's a better athlete, somebody runs faster, plays harder, has a nicer this and that and home and everything else in between? Name it. Be brave enough to name it today. Why and where are you feeling sorry for yourself? What is that attitude holding you back from your spiritual walk? Name it. Surrender it. Lay it at the foot of the throne and let Jesus take care of it for you. Maybe it's an attitude problem. Maybe it's an understanding problem. Whatever the problem toward your neighbor, your brother, your sister in Christ, your spouse, your children, whatever the problem, name it and surrender it. Surrender it to the one who has the upper hand. surrender it to the one that's been waiting for you to surrender it. Today I want you to understand that God has the upper hand, so quit trying to be the upper hand. Quit trying to be the upper hand. Stop trying to be the big boss. Stop trying to be the do-it-all yourself, the one in control, because you are not the one in control. Period. And sorry for the bubble-busting news today. Church, we are in a spiritual battle, but let us be like the Jews. Let us be like the Jews that we read about today, where it said in verse 2, the Jews assembled in their cities and all the provinces of King Xerxes to attack those who were determined to destroy them. No one could stand up against them because the people of all the other nationalities were afraid of them. We find ourselves today in a society, in a world, in a country where there's not much respect for the church, let alone any fear. No respect, no fear, because we have been no action for a long time on many, many things as a whole. But if we get back to our Lord and Savior, we get back to putting things in God's hand because He has the upper hand, things will change. The enemies will be filled with fear. How many times have you read the Bible? How many pastors have told you these stories from beginning to end where the Lord filled the enemy with fear and God's people had the upper hand? It's repeated over and over and over, many times, many places, many examples. Why? Because God's one in control. Because God is one that delivers. Because God loves His people. And as I was sharing with the young people today, what I love about this story is the one self-controlled action that these Jews show that set them apart from all other people, setting apart their humanness, focused upon the Lord. As it says in verse 5, yes, the Jews struck down all their enemies, and then all the sons of Haman were killed. Yes, all 10 sons. For the study of scholars over the years, they believe that this was the last remnant of Amalek, the hereditary enemies of the Jews. The lifelong enemies of the Jews now wiped out. The sons of Haman, who've shared and may have been close to the father, may have not. They have put in leadership roles. So they would have shared their father's, you know, inherited hate for the Jews. And this, in and of itself, made them guilty and deserving death by the sword. But what was that one thing that shows the Jews were set apart, that they were not going to be worldly? It was that last sentence, that last part of verse 10. But they did not lay their hands on the plunder. You know, that's not the way of the world, is it? It's like you beat somebody up, you take over a city or area, and what's theirs is yours, right? But not these Jews. They had God. They had the upper hand. They did not need that worldly plunder of their enemy. The enemy didn't have anything that they needed. The victory was complete without needing any plunder. The enemy had nothing that God's upper hand could not supply. The celebration begins. The feast, the singing. We are the champions. And there would be a whole nother study about this Purim and what it means for this 13th and 14th day should not fail to be observed by the Jews. The memories should not perish among their descendants, as it says in verse 28 of that end of chapter 9. And then verse 29 through 32, Queen Esther, she writes this confirmation letter. She confirms the matters of Purim. a great two-day festival, a celebration to remind the Jews, not that they won, not just remind them about what Mordecai did, not just remind them about Queen Esther stepping up to the plate for them, but to remind them that it was God's deliverance and not their own. God's deliverance because God has the upper hand. Amen? It is God that took care of all this. It is God in control with His upper hand. So I remind you today, we're going to have some low moments once in a while. We all have growing pains. We all have people that challenge us and push us and maybe even push our buttons. But let us keep our eyes on the Lord. I want to remind you and want you to remind those people around you that when they are down and when they're discouraged and when they come into you to talk, you tell them, yes, this is a low moment. Yes, this is a sad time. Yes, this is a challenging situation. But let me remind you, God has the upper hand. And you're in that hand. You're in God's hand. And as we continue on in this year, 2022, I pray that you will want that to be in that position with me, having the upper hand of the Lord leading us in the ministry and work that God would have us do. And there will be a day, a year from now, 5 years from now, who knows when, we'll be looking back and say, you know how we came through COVID? You know how we worked through that year afterwards and how we did these things and we just kept our eyes on the Lord? That was amazing, wasn't it? And we already have some stories like that. We have some life moments like that. And I want you to be a part of it too. God wants you to be a part of it. So as we go forth next week, Esther chapter 10. Yes, it's only 3 verses. I'm sure you can read that this week. But we'll look at that and we'll wrap up our study of the book of Esther. It's been a joy sharing it with you. It's been a joy digging into it myself. It's been a joy knowing that God has the upper hand. I need those reminders as well. I need these messages too. So let us pray. Thank you, Lord, Father God, for this reminder that you will always have the upper hand. This reminder that we need to give you the right of way in our lives, that sometimes we need to step back and say, Lord, go before me. Sometimes we need to hold our tongue and say, Lord, give me the words before I speak. We need not to take it from you, Lord. We need not to take the upper hand into our own hands because we, Lord, we know how to mess it up pretty quick sometimes. So, Lord, we turn to you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for this message this morning. Lord, I pray for all who have heard. I pray for all who may listen and hear sometime in the future. I pray for the Holy Spirit to make the message clear. I pray, Lord, for you to have your way. For those moments when I may not make it clear, when in my humanness may not be clear or fully understand. So, Lord, I give you the glory, and I give you the praise, and I give you the honor, now and forever. Amen.